Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future. Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here this beautiful Sunday afternoon. I'm broadcasting from right outside of the Orlando, Florida area. Again, I may sound a little different. I'm broadcasting from a different microphone today as opposed to my regular microphone. At any rate, I thank you for joining me here. I'd like to remind you that if you have not done so, you can follow me at Twitter at blog. At Blue Zone Wellness, or you can come over to Facebook and you can send me a friend request at facebook.com/naturedoc. Then you can, that's facebook.com/naturedoc. We have an exciting show for you. Also, you can, if you're listening at blogtalkradio.com, we have the chat screen up. And if you would like, you can send in a question or you can call in with a comment. We are going to, again, we have a very interesting show for you today. We are going to be talking about the top three most dangerous pain medications in general. We're also going to look at, during our final segment, our healing herb segment today, we're going to be discussing dandelion root and how it benefits your liver and as well as your kidneys. It's even used for the weight loss aid as well. But before we get to there, in our first Week in Natural News review segment, we'll be talking about the three most dangerous pain medications. We'll also be talking about studies that came out to show how prostate cancer is linked to a high intake of protein and calcium from dairy. We also talked a little bit about in our healing food segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the benefits of how citrus fruits, or rather citrus fruits, and how they benefit help preventing breast cancer. Also, we'll be talking about some of the healthful benefit or beneficial springtime foods that are available now. And then finally, we'll be going into our final segment, the Healing Herb segment, where we talk about, where today we'll be talking about dandelion root. What we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and get started here, and we're going to start off with our first article, the top three most dangerous pain medications. And we talked about this from, we're addressing this from an article that was published in at naturalnews.com. And again, if you're a first-time listener, this is the time where we discuss several different articles dealing with natural health that came out during the week, the past week. Therefore, we call it the Weekend Natural News Review. So we discuss and analyze those articles. And this first article, it just came out on April the 30th. It was from naturalnews.com. And the article is discussing pain medications and the adverse drug reactions to them, which are the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. So the number one leading cause of death is cancer, and then heart disease, and I'm sorry, cardiovascular diseases, which includes heart disease and strokes, and then cancer, diabetes, or not diabetes, but then rather drug reactions, adverse drug reactions. And so, but millions and millions of people every day, the article points out, take some form of pain medication, and not only that, or either prescription or over, in the form of prescription or over-the-counter drugs. And the vast majority of these people taking these, the article points out, simply don't realize some of the dangerous side effects of these pain medications. The risk of the article points out to say that the risk of you or someone you know dying directly from or from a side effect from pain medication is higher than the chance of dying from illegal narcotics, diabetes, lung disease, or in an auto accident. And so basically the article goes on to talk about the three most dangerous form or categories of drugs that people take. And the first one is opiate pain medications. And some of the most common opiate-based pain medications or drugs are codeine and morphine, hydrocodone and Vicodin, as well as oxycodone. And I'm sure if you're listening, either you have taken some of these, you are taking them, or you know someone that has, or at the very least, you have heard of them. And they are actually ranked among the top most deadly, dangerous ones. And these ones that I just mentioned, i.e. codeine, morphine, hydrocodone, Vicodin, and oxycodone, are typically prescribed after surgery or after major accidents or after severe injuries when there's severe pain. And they may numb the pain, but there's a price connected with that. In fact, the number of overdose deaths is now greater than those of deaths from heroin or cocaine combined from these drugs. So according to this article, about 15,000 people die annually from opiate pain medication overdoses. And as I've talked about on here before, there are some natural pain relievers. There are several natural pain relievers, one being a willow bark, a Jamaican dogwood is another. I've found great results in combining Jamaican dogwood together with a pain reliever called PainRx. It's a commercial brand, and PainRx contains white willow bark and a few other pain relieving herbs. It's a herbal base. It's a natural COX-2 inhibitor. We'll talk about what a COX-2 inhibitor is in terms of the drug, like Celebrex is a drug-based COX-2 inhibitor, where a pain reliever, like a natural pain reliever, like PainRx, is a herbal-based pain reliever. And so, but you know, 15,000 people were dying annually from any herb, it would immediately be banned or put on a list of dangerous herbs. But the fact of the matter is, many drugs get a free pass, and in comparison with herbs or with other natural products. And so again, 15,000 people die yearly, and I can understand if you've been in an accident or after major surgery, you're in exceeding pain. You know, maybe needing these things for a short amount of time, but there are some natural alternatives. And sometimes you have to take the natural alternatives in higher dosages, like for instance, Jamaican dogwood. It actually is a It has the same power as morphine when taken in correct dosages. There are other ones, peach leaf tea, which I've had people who've had, I've talked to people who've had, after who've had cancer, severe pain, and they've been able to pretty much eliminate that cancer pain by drinking peach leaf tea. So there are some very powerful natural pain relievers and painkillers that can be taken without the drastic side effects that you will incur from taking these drug-based medications. And again, if you had to take these drug-based medications for a short period of time, it's wise to get off them as soon as possible and see if you can, if you still need something for pain, to find something naturally based. And also, I think your benefit would be greater than if you were taking these drugs, because these drugs are toxic. Some of them kill almost rather quickly. Others leave their toxic imprint in the body, especially on the kidneys and the liver. Now, the number two listed of the three most dangerous pain medications in this article, the article points out, are a group of drugs called NSAIDs. Now, those are different than the NSAIDs, which is non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Now, other points out, you have heard the names before, and he points out ibuprofen or Advil, Aleve, and Motrin. He says these, and he didn't name it, but don't forget Tylenol. It falls in this class as well. He says there are others. Researchers from Denmark showed that patients with a history of prior heart attack that took NSAIDs, even in the short term, had a greater risk of death or either another heart attack. The author goes on to say further that legions of other studies have been done on NSAIDs, and they too report an increased rate of death and heart attack. And he points out as well that over 16,000 deaths per year are contributed to these drugs. Again, those the drugs in the class of ibuprofen or known as Advil, Aleve, and Motrin, and also there's others as well, including Tylenol. And he points out that 16,000 people per year die from these. That's as many as die from AIDS, he says. So in the first class, the opiate pain medications, we're dealing with about 15,000 people a year that die. In the second, NSAIDs cause about 16,000 deaths per year. And then the third, COX inhibitors. And actually, interestingly enough, he has it numbered backwards, where actually the COX inhibitors are number one, the NSAIDs are number two, and the opiate pain medications are actually number three. So number three are the opiate pain medication, number two are the NSAIDs, and number three are the NSAIDs of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. And he points out that Celebrex is a type of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, and it's known as a COX-2 inhibitor. Celebrex, he said, is commonly used to treat several conditions related to pain and inflammation. And when you're dealing with pain and inflammation, typically speaking, when you can get rid of the underlying inflammation and any pain, when you can get rid of the underlying inflammation, you're going to correspondingly get rid of the pain, because it's typically the inflammation that's causing the pain. And so from a natural perspective, what you want to zero in is on anti-inflammatories. We talked about turmeric and some other MSM and CMO and some of these other natural substances that can actually work to bring down the pain, even poultices like charcoal, flaxseed poultices, and areas that are specific and can be used topically. That can be helped in bringing down pain of all sorts, or controlling pain of all sorts, without the detrimental side effects of a drug. He goes on to point out further in his article, quote, that what's deeply concerning is Celebrex is the only selective COX-2 inhibitor left on the market, he says, as its close cousins were all pulled due to either their killing tens of thousands of people or to their unacceptably high heart risk. While studying the drug's potential as an anti-cancer drug, he says, the National Cancer Institute discovered that those taking 400 milligrams of Celebrex had a 250% greater risk of dying from heart attack or stroke, and those taking 800 milligrams had a 340% higher risk of dying from stroke. That's a significant higher risk. by taking 400 milligrams of Celebrex, or 400 milligram doses of Celebrex, rather, people who were on the study, as identified by the National Cancer Institute, the National Cancer Institute were able to see that those people taking 400 milligram doses of Celebrex had a 250% greater risk of dying from heart attack or stroke, and those taking 800 milligrams had a 340% higher risk. Those are very significant risks. So you're basically trading cancer for a stroke or heart attack in these instances. And so most of the quote cousins of Celebrex have been taken off of the market, and those who are aware can remember the big stink about Celebrex and some of the issues that were connected with it, even being on the market and killing so many people, and the lawsuits involved with it, and the corporations were really kind of let off easy, and which is often the case, and so that was not a good thing. But many people lost their lives trying to treat their arthritis, and a lot of people were trying to use Celebrex to treat their arthritis, and it didn't work out well, and it cost them their lives. And so this is often the case, and there were whistleblowers who came out who pointed out that some of the companies knew better. They knew from the beginning that this drug was dangerous, and for the most part, they just received a slap on the wrist. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're in our first segment, the Week in Natural News Review. We're going to move on to our next article. This article was taken from Natural News as well, and it was entitled Prostate Cancer Linked to High Intake of Protein and Calcium from Dairy. In this particular article, the author points out that the European Prospective Investigation into Cancer and Nutrition is a multi-center meta-epidemiological broad statistical survey study designed to assess cancer risk by investigating past and current relationships between diet, lifestyle, environmental factors, and cancer among a large population of different EU nations. And this is a study basically that looked at in the EU, and they basically looked at 10 European nations: Denmark, France, Germany, Greece, Italy, the Netherlands, Norway, Spain, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. And they were trying to find if there was any connection between dairy protein, meat protein, and prostate cancer. And this article is going to point out how the UK sub-study isolated 142,251 men from this vast pool, excluding Norway and France. And it goes on to say that the men were recruited between 1989 and 2004 with a median age of 52, mostly white Europeans from the eight nations that had men in the above study that I mentioned, the EPICN study, or the European Prospective Investigation into Cancer Nutrition. And in this particular study, in trying to determine if there is any link between prostate cancer and the high intake of protein and calcium from dairy, the article pointed out that the UK study looked at was called Animal Foods, Protein, Calcium, and Prostate Cancer, the European Prospective Investigation into Cancer Nutrition, and how it was completed in March 2007, and this paper was published in the British Journal of Cancer in April of 2008. And the article goes on to point out further that animal foods for those in the study included total meat and meat products with their subcategories fish and shellfish, and with their subcategories and dairy products, including milk, yogurt, cheese, and eggs, and the food amounts were measured in grams. It had already been hypothesized, according to this article, that a high intake of animal protein enhanced growth hormone activity, or rather a high intake of animal protein actually enhanced growth hormone activity to increase the risk of prostate cancer. So they had already had some knowledge that this was true, that this was the case. That is being that the increased amount of animal protein can actually increase the chances that you would develop prostate cancer. In this article, the writer goes on to say that some non-clinical studies showed a strong correlation with milk to higher incidence of prostate cancer, with the hypothesis that high calcium intake from dairy products inhibits the synthesis of vitamin D. And so here you get into a situation where you have a lack of vitamin D, caused by the higher intake of calcium, and so you get into a situation to where it affects the amount of vitamin D in the body and can help lead or contribute to prostate cancer as well as other cancers, but this particular study was dealing with prostate cancer. It says after an average of 8.7 years of follow-up, 2,727 men were diagnosed with prostate cancer among the 142,000 participants. It went on to say that they determined from milk products, or rather they determined that protein from milk products, cheese, yogurt, and others, was a strong factor among those who daily consumed exceeded the recommended daily amount by 35 grams, or 1.2 ounces daily. Went on to say that calcium from dairy products was associated with prostate cancer risk as well, but not from calcium from other sources. So basically what the article says is that if you're a male and you're getting a significant amount of daily protein from animal products, even fish, dairy products, you're increasing the likelihood that you will develop prostate cancer significantly. And that was basically the study in a nutshell, the results of this study in a nutshell. So this shouldn't be anything new to those who listened to Blue Zone Wellness before. You know quite well that I encourage a plant-based diet. There are many, many studies. Those of us who practice, we know that how dangerous meat can be and how much of an impediment it can be when trying to deal with certain sicknesses such as cancer and diabetes and some of these other diseases. It can be a serious impediment to correcting these underlying causes of the disease. If you're not drastically reducing, or even I recommend cutting out the animal products altogether. It's just that the animal products are just the level of acid and some of the other problems that they cause can be significant. Again, you're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Ender. We'll be back after this brief message to finish. We're going to move on into our healing food section, where we'll be talking about citrus fruits and how citrus fruits reduces the risk of cancer. And we'll also be talking about those 7 springtime food tips, some of the foods that we can be eating. We'll be talking a little bit about sweet potatoes, globe artichokes, garlic, cherries, asparagus, etc., and how eating these foods, some of these healing foods, can render us great benefits. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archive versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're moving over into our section where we deal with healing foods. And in our healing foods section, I just want to talk briefly about how you can benefit, especially if you're a female, how you can benefit from citrus fruits. There's some studies that have come out recently and in the past. You've heard me talk about eating in harmony with the colors of the rainbow. And because there's so many nutrients and phytonutrients and amino acids and vitamins just, that are packed, the Creator has packed in these foods. And the closer your food is eaten to the garden, the healthier you will be. And these foods, the closer these natural foods are eaten in harmony with the colors of the rainbow, the healthier you would be. So it's color-coded wellness. And when you think about it, if you look at the oranges and the apples and the strawberries and the mangoes and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the tomatoes and the green beans, it's color-coded. The Creator has given us color-coded wellness. These foods are appealing to our eyesight. They are bright and they're flush with color. And so as we think about this, you can understand why I talk about eating in harmony with the rainbow. In fact, a high intake of citrus fruits, as we're going to be talking about here briefly, and how it ties into breast cancer, a high intake of citrus fruits actually lowers breast cancer risk in women by at least 10%, according to a new systematic review of past studies. So basically what these scientists have done is they basically sat down and they took all of the past studies, or a significant number of the past studies, and they put them together to analyze the benefits of eating citrus on breast health, on breast cancer health. And by looking at these studies, by taking and putting them together, they were able to determine that a high intake of citrus fruits actually lowers the risk of you developing breast cancer. In fact, and in this study, they talked about how high was only having 17 to 33 grams daily in one of the studies that were analyzed. So basically, it really doesn't take that much. And I would say that the more copious amounts that you eat of fresh fruits and vegetables, the more health benefits you're going to obtain. And not only that, in this particular study that they were talking about, they found that one of the studies, the women got a benefit of up to 32% reduction of breast cancer. And so you have to remember that citrus fruits, as I said earlier, are excellent sources of numerous phytochemicals and vitamins and nutrients. They're just packed with natural drug, I would call them. Not drugs in the sense that drugs are understood, but they're actually very, very, very beneficial, as I've said before, when we eat in harmony with the rainbow. In fact, in a number of the human studies, citrus fruit consumption has actually been shown to offer protection from such diseases as pancreatic, stomach, throat, and colorectal, as well as breast cancer. So think about that for just a moment. Consuming significant amounts of citrus fruits have been shown to offer protection from cancer of the pancreas, cancer of the stomach, cancer of the throat, cancer of the colon and the rectum, as well as breast cancers. So that's significant just by eating, again, copious amounts of citrus fruits. And not only that, in some studies, there's only been a marginal benefit shown, but in others, there's been significant benefit shown. And a lot of there's a lot of factors that have to play into this, the amount of the fruit that people eat, where the fruit is grown, the soil, all those things play a big role. And back to the study that was done to show that citrus fruit actually can help reduce breast cancer by at least 10%, researchers in Korea produced this systematic review study which combined all of the previous studies from China, the U.S., and Australia. So they looked at all the studies on citrus fruit and breast cancer from China, the U.S., and Australia, and they attempted to clarify the role of citrus fruit in breast cancer prevention. And so basically, when they looked at all of these studies, it included a total of about 8,393 participants in their age range from about 20 to 98. And when all the data was combined together, an overall risk reduction, as I said earlier, of 10% was observed for the highest consumers of citrus fruit as compared to the lowest consumers of citrus fruit. So in other words, the more citrus fruit that they ate, the better was the benefit, or the higher was the benefit. In fact, in one of the single studies that they looked upon from about 20 years ago, had that study been left out of the entire analysis, the results would have actually looked a lot better as far as 20%. This is why I said before, even though this one study threw the average down, if that one study hadn't been there, it would have doubled. And so, interestingly, the largest study of all those in the analysis actually had the most or the highest statistical significance. So when you look at all of the studies, the biggest one that they did and the most extensive one showed the most benefit. And so in this particular study, as they looked over all of the available information, again, from China, U.S., and Australia in these studies, they found that the highest protective citrus consumption, they found one study where the women had a 32% reduction in the likelihood of breast cancer just by eating copious amounts of citrus fruit. So that tells you, if you're a woman, the more citrus fruit that you're eating, the better breast health you are probably going to have. And I wanted to say that when they looked at these studies, and one of the studies that they observed, from China, they observed that even more than grapes, peaches, pears, or bananas or apples, the citrus fruit actually had more of a benefit on breast cancer. In reducing the likelihood of breast cancer than even these powerful fruits, again, being grapes, peaches, pears, bananas, and apples. So, again, the point being that if you are a female or male, but because we're talking about breast cancer here, it basically goes to what we've said on here before, that the closer you eat in line with the colors of the rainbow, the greater the likelihood of you preventing diseases, and even if you develop a disease, the greater the likelihood of you being able to help reverse that disease when you're eating closer with the colors of the rainbow, because the Creator has packed copious amounts of vitamins, minerals, nutrients, et cetera, into these foods that He's given us to eat. Now we're going to move on. We're still in our healing food segment. And we're going to talk about some of the springtime foods that are coming out, as you could call them, and just some of the benefits. Not anything in detail, but some of the springtime foods we'll talk about, and we'll look at how eating these, again, goes back to the basis of our health. Remember, we've talked about the laws of health on here, if you've not listened to us before, if you have, and we talk about sunshine, trust in the Creator, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. And so when we talk about these foods, when we talk about the benefits of these foods, we're simply showing how when you eat this way, instead of depending upon drugs and instead of depending upon doctors and instead of depending upon medications, that your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. And you can get a lot of your nutrients and even your healing capacity can come from your foods, as opposed to drugs. As I said in the last segment, we were talking about the dangerous side effects of drugs and how drugs don't cure. They can give you some benefit of pain relief, but they do not cure. And not only do they not cure, but they can leave devastating side effects, even to the point of death. I don't know if you've looked at any of the commercials that they run on TV for certain drugs, but many of the drugs that they advertise, one in particular that I'm thinking about, I think there's one drug that they advertise for irritable bowel syndrome, and another one I think for rheumatoid arthritis. I've heard that one of the potential side effects is death. So basically, the message is to exchange irritable bowel syndrome for death instead of changing your diet and making other lifestyle changes, maybe getting on doing a few other things that would ultimately help correct the underlying problem. As opposed to just taking some drugs and risking dying. Same thing with rheumatoid arthritis commercial, as opposed to seeking to look at the underlying cause, rheumatoid arthritis being classified as an autoimmune disease, that in my mind, that would tell me that because my immune system is attacking my joints or attacking it's attacking my body in some way, shape, form, or fashion, that would tell me as a practitioner that my body has become confused. And my body has become confused, and therefore it's attacking itself. That means that the messages, the chemical messages and the biochemical messages are not being relayed, and therefore the talking that goes on between the cells is not taking place. So that means probably somewhere along the line I am severely deficient in amino acids, vitamins, minerals, et cetera. And once I can replace these, maybe I can reestablish the communication between the cells and maybe eliminate the confusion, as opposed to giving the body more toxic drugs to even further hinder where it needs to be. So this is why it's important to understand nutrition and how it relates to health and what's going on in the body. Now, with regard to some of these springtime foods that are good to eat, one is sweet potatoes, or also known as yam. And not many people are aware of how much nutrition is packed into these foods. Many, 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 many benefits in eating sweet potatoes and yams. And also globe artichokes. I don't know if you like artichokes, but globe artichokes are actually related to milk thistle, which is an herb that I've talked about on here before, which is very, very, very beneficial for your liver. They contain some of the same active ingredients that are contained in milk thistle, silymarin, and they also contain cinnarin, which is a phytonutrient that also helps support liver health. So basically, globe artichokes are actually beneficial for your liver. They act as a liver tonic, again, a food for your liver to help the body. Again, it has some of the same. It has silymarin, which is one of the chief constituents of milk thistle, which is great, which is a very, very well known liver herb, herb that benefits the liver. So you can do that. Again, one of your spring foods is globe artichokes. Another one is garlic. You know, garlic not only is a spring food, but you've heard us talk about garlic on here before. I call it God's antibiotic. You know that garlic is a very, very, very powerful antibiotic. I won't really go into that because we've talked about how you can use it, make garlic oil, you can mix it, you can use it all types of ways. Garlic is a very broad spectrum antibiotic. I have a couple of articles on my blog, on my website, that you can read about how to use garlic more efficiently, what it's used for, how to use it extensively, and how beneficial it is for all manner of sickness when it comes to infections and as well as other areas. But it's one of those spring foods that we're talking about here. Another one is cherries. Cherries are very, very beneficial. I have an article on how cherries actually can help relieve arthritis, eating raw cherries, eating a few raw cherries. Very, very beneficial. You can go to my website, go to my blog at Phase 3 Ministries, PHASE, the number 3, ministries.com/WordPress. And just type in cherries, and the article should pop up on how to use cherries if you're suffering from arthritis. A lot of people have gotten a lot of benefit. A lot of people swear by eating cherries, and the theory is that it helps reduce the inflammation in the joints and thereby takes care of the pain. Another one is asparagus, one of our spring foods here that we're talking about. And asparagus is very, very, very high in nutrients such as B vitamins. B vitamins, we've talked about the B vitamins before, how it's very important for your nervous system. For your nerves overall, for your adrenal glands, which are your stress absorbers of the body. Asparagus also is high in folate and potassium, is rutin and selenium, as well as vitamin K. It also helps to regulate the blood pressure and strengthen your kidney function. All of this is in asparagus. Also, asparagus in use in certain fashions can also help. I'm not going to go into it here in this particular show, but asparagus when used in a certain way can also help reduce and eliminate tumors of the brain. And so it's very, very beneficial food, one of the spring foods that we're talking about here. But as you can see, it's packed with nutrients. Again, some of the nutrients of asparagus, again, vitamin B, folate, potassium, rutin, selenium, vitamin K, and it also helps to regulate blood pressure and helps strengthen your kidney function. So I've noted one food there that's beneficial: liver, another one that benefits your kidney, another one that benefits that works as a natural broad spectrum antibiotic, one that works to eliminate inflammation in your joint, some of these spring foods. If we talk about leeks, which are another considered a superfood, leeks are high in sulfides, and these help protect against heart disease and also help lower your high blood pressure. And some of these compounds also are protective against colon as well as prostate cancers. And so not only that, leeks are health boosters with lutein, which also helps your eyes. And not only that, zeaxanthin, which is also another constituent that helps your eyes as well. And not only that, leeks are also high in vitamin K. And so, you know, these are just some of the foods that the Creator has given us. And these foods are nutrient dense, and they are, and if they're eaten copiously and in large amounts, and not so much to be eaten, of course, to the point of gluttony or overeating, but if they're eaten, if you eat a wide variety of these foods, and I just listed a few as some of the spring foods, and I've listed and talked about how what they do, some of the benefits that they have when taken, and these foods can even be taken therapeutically, but if they're eaten daily. It's far better to know how to prevent disease than to know how to treat it after it's developed. So, again, ideally is to eat in such a way and follow what we call the laws of health in such a way that you would not have to use these foods in a therapeutic manner. But just by eating them day in and day out, they will act therapeutically upon the body. And so, again, just these are some of the spring foods, some of the foods that you can eat. We call them spring foods because we're going into spring now. Again, sweet potatoes and yams, globe artichokes, garlic, cherries, asparagus, leeks. These are just some of the foods that I, again, eat as closely in line with the rainbow as possible. And not only that, but avoid all of the sugary foods, the processed foods, because these are nutrient thieves. I have an article up on the popular site, naturalnews.com. If you can go there when you get a chance, I have an article on there called Nutrient Thieves. And I talk about how certain foods, processed foods, how they can rob the body of nutrients, specific nutrients. And once your body is robbed of these nutrients, sooner or later, if these nutrients are not replaced, you will develop some disease or abnormality, and if you continue to follow the SAD or the SAD diet, which is the standard American diet, you'll eventually develop a disease, and if it's not corrected, you will eventually die. And this is the truth that we're dealing with, and these are the fact that we're dealing with. And so again, we're going to pivot now from our healing food segment, and we're going to go over it to our final segment. In these last 15 minutes, and we're going to be talking about dandelion root, and this is our healing herb segment. And we talked about dandelion root a little bit in the past, but I want to talk about dandelion root a little bit more again today. And there was an article that came out on it this week, and so I decided to look at that article on the show. Not only that, but then to add a little bit more that the article didn't mention with respect to dandelion root. Now, dandelion greens are commonly used in the natural health field as natural diuretics, and they actually help to boost renal health or kidney health. They're also used in the natural world for your liver to help benefit the liver. And not only that, a lot of scientific information has come out to basically back the centuries of use by herbalists and naturopaths and other natural practitioners with respect to using dandelion root in their practices. Now, let's look at dandelion root first of all in dealing with and how it helps restore and maintain proper liver function. And again, I'm going to refer to this article that was pulled from naturalnews.com at first, and then I'm going to add my own information to it. But the particular article points out how the liver's importance is often underrated, but as you realize its importance, you will be taking better care of that large organ in the right front lower abdominal cavity. And he goes on to point out how the liver, I'm just give you one or two things, maybe four or five things of how important your liver is, what it does. It's responsible for protein creation. So again, just understand for protein creation. Number two, it's also important for creating the master antioxidant glutathione. Very, very important. So here you have your liver is important for protein creation. It's important for creating a very, very important antioxidant glutathione. It's also responsible for managing the bile distribution to digest fats. Bile is necessary to help break down and digest fats in the body. You know, you have your gallbladder where the bile is stored, but the liver is responsible for distributing that bile. So this is why it's important to keep that liver healthy. If you get into a situation where your liver is not functioning, it can cause a lot of problems. And it's just a few of the functions. We believe that the liver has probably about 5,000 different functions. It's also very important for creating blood coagulation factors. Again, you know that your blood needs to clot, else you're going to have a lot of problems, big problems. Additionally, it's very, very important for helping to remove toxins from several sources by filtering your blood. So again, your liver, your kidney also has something to do with that, but your liver is very, very, very important, extremely important when it comes to filtering your blood. Also, it also contributes to contributes immune cells to help fight infection. So again, the liver is so important to our health, and this is why we're talking about how also dandelion root is also important to your liver. And in this particular article from naturalnews.com, the author points out how the more well-known serious liver diseases are hepatitis, fatty liver, cirrhosis, and liver cancer, and a poorly functioning liver also causes less dangerous symptoms of indigestion such as gas, bloating, constipation, or diarrhea. And so now let's move over and look a little bit at dandelion root and how it affects the liver. Dandelion root helps stimulate the liver's bile production for the gallbladder and helps the liver control the gallbladder's releasing of that bile for digestive purposes, especially fat. So number one, as I said earlier, it's very, very important to be able to break down and digest all foods, but especially fat, and that bile is very, very important in this equation, and dandelion root actually helps the liver in doing this because it actually stimulates the liver's bile production for the gallbladder and helps the liver control the gallbladder's releasing of that bile for digestive purposes, especially the fat. And as most naturopaths would tell you, most natural practitioners would tell you that good health is based upon good digestion. Bad digestion, because remember, your digestive process is where you get many of the nutrients from your foods. And without getting those nutrients, no matter how healthful of a diet that you eat, if you can't break that diet down, if you can't get those nutrients from those foods into your system, you're not going to be healthy. Not only that, will you not be healthy, but you will be sick. And so dandelion root also keeps the liver's blood detoxification pathways open. So the liver, again, as I said earlier, it plays a big role in helping to detoxify the blood. And dandelion root actually helps keep the blood's detoxification pathways open. In fact, some pharmaceutical drugs actually shut those pathways down. Also, in this article, the author also points out, he talks about the kidneys and the benefit, and I'm going to talk about it here in a minute here, how dandelion root benefits. A little further, I'm going to give you a little bit more information about how it benefits the kidneys as well as the liver. And he points out how the primary function of the kidneys are to filter the blood and to eliminate toxins through urine, and also how dandelion root also helps the kidney in this process. And so I just want to look at that article briefly and comment on that. But now I want to talk a little bit more. I want to add a little bit more of my own information to dandelion root and what it can do in terms of helping the liver. Now, as I said earlier, it's used by a lot of herbalists over the years as a diuretic or something that helps the urine flow. And usually the leaves of the dandelion flower, or some people may even call it a weed, are used as a diuretic, very powerful diuretic at that. And the root would typically be used as the blood purifier, and it helps both the kidneys and the liver to remove toxins and as well as toxins from and poisons from the blood. Not only that, dandelion acts as a mild laxative and it actually can help improve your appetite and digestion. And this is what I said earlier, because it actually helps with the bile production and management in the liver and gallbladder. Not only that, dandelion is also can be used for eczema-like skin problems, as well as boils and abscesses. And it's actually also believed to help skin spots, or to help prevent what we call age spots, as well as breast cancer. Now, and the reason it would help breast cancer, if you think about it for a moment, is because it's a blood cleanser. And anything that cleanses the blood and that takes free radicals out of the blood, that takes toxic chemicals or toxic waste out of the blood, is going to actually help benefit breast cancer, help benefit age spots, and a number of things. And so as long as you don't have to worry about these excess toxins in the bloodstream in the body, you're going to get a benefit. Now, there's some other areas where dandelion root can be used, and we'll look at a few of them in the 8 minutes or so that we have left. Let's look at anemia. Dandelion root actually contains high levels of potassium. And not only that, it's a rich source of iron as well as other vitamins. And ounce for ounce, and dandelion actually has more carotene than carrots. And so herbalists have used dandelion for generations to treat anemia due to the deficiencies of folic acid, iron, and vitamin B12. So a lot of herbalists have actually used dandelion root. So if you're a person who has anemia, you may want to look at and do some research for yourself, or go to an herbalist, a competent herbalist, or competent naturopath, or a competent allopathic doctor who uses naturopathic, who practices also alternative medicine. And if you have anemia, learn about taking dandelion to help deal with your anemia problem. Because, again, it can be very beneficial for dealing with anemia. Also, it can be used for bladder infection as well as premenstrual syndrome, or PMS, because unlike many of the conventional diuretics, which cause a loss of potassium, dandelion leaves are actually high in potassium. So that's the thing about a lot of times you're taking diuretics, because of the way that they work upon the kidneys, you'll lose a lot of potassium, which is one of the electrolytes, and you don't want to do that. But because dandelion leaves are actually so high in potassium, not only will you not lose potassium, even though it may increase the urine flow, you will get a net increase of potassium. So not only are you getting the diuretic effect of it, which could actually help in blood pressure, high blood pressure cases, but you're also getting a higher amount of potassium. Not only that, using herbs such as diuretics will also benefit. They can actually help benefit. And I say herbs such as diuretics, but herbs such as dandelion root, because there are others as well. And so I don't want to just zero in and just think that it's only dandelion root that can help. But there are other ones that have a diuretic effect as well. But because of its diuretic effect, dandelion actually helps to relieve fluid retention in premenstrual syndrome, or in PMS. And also help contract urine retention and bladder infection. So if you think, or rather counteract urine retention and bladder infection. So if you have a bladder infection, or if you have PMS, because of the way dandelion root works, because it is a diuretic, it can actually help reduce PMS. Now, there are some other things that can be used for PMS as well, but as I said before, it helps to relieve fluid retention in PMS, and it actually also counteracts urine retention and bladder infections. So by increasing your potassium levels, dandelion actually aids in alleviating, rather, muscle spasms as well as nighttime leg cramps. So, again, you get natural potassium by taking dandelion leaves and or roots. Now, I'm not going to have time to go into how it can benefit in constipation and hemorrhoids and indigestion, but there was actually a German research, that has actually shown that dandelion root is what we call a mild bitter or appetite stimulant. And in herbology, bitters of all types activate a reflex that increases the secretion of digestive juices by the lining of the stomach. So dandelion root has a significant cleansing effect on the liver by stimulating the production of bile, which I said earlier, and which actually ultimately results in increased transport of a variety of potentially toxic compounds to your stool. And so think about that for a moment. By taking it, it actually increases causes the stomach to increase the secretion of digestive juices by the lining of the stomach. This also helps the body pass out more of the toxic waste that's in it. It also helps, basically, it's what I said earlier, it benefits the digestion, the overall digestion. So we can just look at it from that perspective. Now, there's also, as I said in a previous segment, we were talking about irritable bowel syndrome and some of these drugs that you see advertised on the television for IBS, again, irritable bowel syndrome, or some of these other issues that actually one of the side effects is death. And dandelion is also beneficial in IBS. And as I said earlier, because it does benefit the gastrointestinal tract, anything that benefits the gastrointestinal tract, anything that benefits digestion is going to help with these types of diseases of the bowel, irritable bowel syndrome, et cetera. In fact, there have been Bulgarian studies of a combination of herbs which included dandelion root that actually was able to help those suffering from IBS and cause them to be pain-free in roughly 2 weeks. Again, I don't have the time to go into the details of that, but what I will do, and just in summary, is point out how dandelion root helps if you have liver and gallbladder problems. It also helps if you have osteoporosis. Now, it's not recommended if you have gallstones that you take it. This is why I said earlier, if you have gallstones, you can get with a competent naturopath or herbalist or allopathic doctor who practices and who's not only practices but who understands the natural medicine philosophy. And they can give you a little bit more guidance on this. And I will just say in this last couple of minutes with respect to dandelion root, it combined with chickweed also help if you're trying to lose weight. In fact, European herbalists frequently prescribe dandelion tincture as a weight loss aid because dandelion reduces water weight through its diuretic effect, as I said earlier. And it can also help the liver regulate blood sugars to avoid hypoglycemia, which is low blood sugar, which is frequently a cause for binge eating. Not only that, because it increases the bowel flow, stimulated, it helps to improve fat metabolism in your body. And so one way to help with being overweight, controlling your eating, is to take dandelion. We're talking a bit more about dandelion maybe in a later show. Chickweed, I've recommended as well. These things help suppress the appetite and can actually help lose weight. Now, you've been listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are about out of time here. I thank you for listening. Just remind you, if you didn't catch the entire show, the show will be available in archive here in probably about 5 or 10 minutes. You can go and listen to it. We had a lot of information in today's show. And I'd just like to remind you to join me next week here on Blue Zone Wellness from 4 to 5 p.m. Thank you for listening. And until next week, have a blessed week.